God bless each and every one of you. You know, it's been a very tough, tough week. We've seen things that we never would have imagined would have happened to us. We see things that we used to pay money to go see in movies to, you know, it was made up, but we see it play up in real life. It's really been tough. We've been through so much over the past year, and it seems like it keeps on getting worse. It's been overwhelming at times. You know, my brothers and sisters, we've seen everything. We've seen the righteous anger that has come from those opposed to racial injustice. But then again, we've seen the unrighteous anger and the behavior of those who have chosen to believe a false narrative and try to destroy our democracy in an effort to support a liar in chief. We have seen people say anything to get a vote. We've seen people peddle lies and everything just to get a vote and get their name out there. We've seen individuals storm the capital of our nation. In the past few days, it's interesting, my brothers and sisters, we've seen a lot of politicians backpedaling fast to rewrite recent history, a false rhetoric and the sowing of seeds of discord. But I'm so glad that we have the technology that we can rewind and remind ourselves of what has really been said and what is truly in their heart. Today, we're coming from a similar situation. We're coming from David in Psalm 64. Psalm 64 is where we're coming from today. And in Psalm 64, there was a lot of evil behavior going on. And David just prayed to the Lord to hide him, protect him from all of this. But as we look at Psalm 64, we also see that not only do we see their behavior outlined, but we also see the response from the Lord. So as we look at today's message, which comes from Psalm 64, I certainly pray that we look at this, we realize that all in all, God is still in control. That God will still, he still watches over his people, and he will take care of it in due time. So let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to share your word to your people, Father. I pray that as I share, we can free our hearts and minds of the concerns of the world and hear what thus saith the Lord. For we truly know that you are a way maker. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 64. This is one of David's prayers for God's judgment on the enemies of the righteous. And as we read this, there's two main points I want to outline that you might want to jot them down now because I might forget to say them later. But number one, we're going to look at the reprehensible behavior of the wicked. The reprehensible behavior of the wicked. And then in the last three verses, we will look at the reassurance from the Lord. The reassurance from the Lord. Now, we know David, and we know what David went through in his life. David, who was the one who slew the giant Goliath, who became a national hero. But this same David, once he became too popular, the king was after him. The king did not like him anymore. David had to run and hide for his life. There were people who told lies on him. There were people who tried to tear him apart. But yet we know the rest of David's story, that God did become king of Israel. And God watched over King David. But in this time, let us look at this Psalm 64 for what it says. For what it says, we look at verse 1. David says, "Hear my voice, O God. In my meditation, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy." David is complaining about the evildoers who are seeking to do him harm. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. And in verse 2, he says, hide me, hide me. Verse 1, he says, hear me. Now he says, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. You know, there are times that we just want to hide. We want to hide from the rhetoric that seems so hard to believe that someone would take it seriously. We just want to hide. I find myself during this week having to change the channel and watch a movie or something just to get away from all that was going on, all of the evil that was going on, all of the language that was set to destruct instead of rather instruct. We just had to turn away from some of it. And every now and then we just need to just say, Lord, hide me from all of this. Lord, insulate me from all of this. Lord, there's only so much I can do, Lord, but we do know that you can do all. So he says, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked. You know, by the time we see the plot unfold, a lot of work has gone on behind the scenes. And that's what David is talking about. They have gotten into their corners to plot how to dethrone him, how to find him, how to execute him. They have secret plots of the wicked. But my brothers and sisters, remember that what is done in secret will come out in the light. So hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. Hide me from the rebellious spirit of the workers of iniquity, those who should know better. Lord, just hide me from all of this. Protect me, Lord. And that's what David is doing, is opening up this psalm with his prayer of protection. And I think at times like this, we need to open up and just say, Lord, protect me, Lord, hear me, Lord, hide me, Lord, and just hide me from those plots that are going on in behind closed doors. Hide me, Lord, from the plots that are going on in the open. Hide me, Lord, from the rebellious spirit among the people. Just hide me, Father. At times like this, we can take solace in the words from the Lord. And we can just look at the words of the Lord and say, Lord, this was happening way back then. So Lord, it's still happening today. And then we look at verse 3, and this is where David outlines their malicious schemes. Let's look at verse 3 through 6. It says, who sharpen their tongues like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Bitter words. These verses describe how the wicked prepare their attack on the innocent. So we should not be surprised at what's going on, because it was going on way back then and it's still going on today. And he says, who sharpen their tongues like a sword. The wicked use their speech as a weapon. They can use their speech as a weapon. They know what they're doing. He's saying, hide me, Lord, from those who sharpen their tongues like a sword. Hide me from those who shoot their bitter words like a bow and an arrow. Think about it. Read this carefully. The evil people who sharpen their tongues like a sword. In other words, use their words as a weapon and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Bitter words. So he's using the illustration of military weaponry to show how evil really works. And verse 4 says that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. There's a whole lot to unpack in these verses. This one, this verse 4, it talks about how the wicked target their prey, how they target their prey. They target the blameless, the innocents in secret. It is an ambush. It is a secret plot. We know that ambush is something that is done in the dark, where the suspected prey have no idea that the attack is coming. But it has been brewing in secret for a while. And there's two illustrations from Psalm I want to point us to elaborate this on a little bit more. Psalm chapter 10, verse 8 shares the nature of a robber. And it says he sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. You know, that's the nature of someone who seeks to rob us. They lurk in places. They lurk. Sometimes they lurk in plain sight. Also, Psalm 11, 2, it shares the nature of the hunter who shoots birds from their hiding places. Psalm 11, 2 says, "For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in the heart." So they keep it a secret and try to do sneak attacks on individuals. That's the way of the wicked. But I'm not through yet. Look at verse 5. And it says they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, "Who will see us?" The wicked do not work in isolation. They encourage each other in their plans to do injustice. They think that they can commit their sins without being discovered. They ask, "Who will see us?" Look at that very carefully. They encourage themselves. Not for good, not for righteousness, but for evil. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, "Who will see them?" They lay the traps and just watch and wait as we fall into it. And in verse 6, they devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thoughts and the heart of man are deep. In other words, let's break this down. They think that they are committing the perfect crime. They have perfected their activities so much so that they really do think they believe what they are saying. They think they have perfected the perfect crime. Now, I've watched enough detective shows to know that every criminal leaves clues. Every crime can be solved, whether it be the detectives of old, people like Sherlock Holmes, amen? You know, we see that they always get to the bottom of the crime. The real person who did the crime is always exposed. I can remember as a child watching Joe Friday on Dragnet saying, "All we want is the facts," trying to get to the bottom of what is going on. From Columbo to Jessica Fletcher on Murder, She Wrote, at we see all of the detectives at the end of the show. They always discover who is behind the crime. We see today Law and Order and Criminal Minds. They always discover who is behind the crime. They have to go through some rabbit holes sometimes in the process, but they always get the one responsible for the crime. So it is in our illustration from television, so it is in real life. Even though we might not know, we know that we serve a God who does know what evil lurks within the heart of man. And that last part of that verse 64, chapter 64, verse 6 says, both the inward thoughts and the hearts of man are deep. Their hearts are crafty. Their hearts are cunning. Psalm 83:3 says, they have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. You see, the plot thickens. And things are being revealed to us, I believe, my brothers and sisters, for a purpose, so we can really see what is really going on, to wake us up as to what's going on. But I'm so glad that when David prays, or when God illustrates it in the word, he does not leave us hanging. Because just as he has told us what is going on, here comes the reassurance from the Lord in the form of prophecy of divine judgment. Let's look at verse 7. But, it starts off with but. And you all know that I love that conjunction but, because that means regardless of what's happened before, something else is going to happen. There's a change about to come. And it says in verse 7, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. You know what? The same weapons that they use against the righteous, God will use against them. As we remember from verse 3, the arrow are bitter words. And God will use their same intellect. God will use the same thing they do to turn themselves against one another and to bring their downfall. Verse 8, so he will make them stumble over their own tongue. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have you seen somebody lately stumble over their own tongue? All who see them shall flee away. This is getting good, my brothers and sisters. This is when you can shout hallelujah right now, because you see this happening in real life. This is nothing that we just read about in the word, but this is something that we have experienced. Their plans for you were to bring you to ruin, but God will pass down divine justice and judgment. My brothers and sisters, what is done in the dark will come to light. Didn't we just hear that in the song Waymaker, the light in darkness? Ephesians 5:11 tells us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Light can expose what is done in the dark. And I like Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, where it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, those who twist the ways of the world, those who twist the words to make them sound real good and can influence some of the people. But I pray that God's people are above that, will not be seduced by the evil works and words of troublemakers. They might sound all articulate. They might make a great argument, but be not disturbed, because God will take care of it. And you see this in real life in verse 8. He will make them stumble over their own tongues. We see them today trying to backpedal so fast, trying to say, I didn't mean that, I didn't know that, trying to say that everything was done legitimately, only when they were sowing deeds of discord last week, trying to find extra votes out of nowhere, out of vapor. He will make them stumble over their own tongues. And the last part of that, all who see them shall flee away. I've never seen so many people try to change their narrative so fast. I really didn't support him. And we see this. And as we see this, I pray in the coming weeks, we will see this happen more and more. And I pray that we can go back to Psalm 64 and just see that it was prophesied that all this was going to happen. Evil cannot last forever. And you know what? They try to change their story. But what this reminds me of, I have an illustration from the word, from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Now, you remember in Genesis, there was a man named Joseph. Joseph, who was daddy's favorite child, and the other children got jealous, and they decided that they're going to do away with them. They decided instead of killing him, they were going to sell him into slavery. But lo and behold, what they meant for evil, God meant for good, because Joseph was adopted in the Egyptian family. Joseph was a high-ranking Egyptian official. Joseph was the man who put the plan to save reserves of resources for times of famine. And Joseph was the one that the brothers had to go to later on in life when they were starving. And when they realized that they were dealing with Joseph, the brother that they had put away, when they realized all that they had done to try and destroy their brother, they were scared, they were fearful. But in Genesis 50, verse 20, he says to them, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." And I pray by the exposure of evil in the nation, will save people, will make people wake up and really realize that they've been living a lie for so long and listening to a lie for so long. I pray that they will come to the point in their lives where they will realize that they need to discern better. They need help in discerning the difference between good and evil. Back to Psalm 64, the 9th verse. After all that God does to the evil workers, it says in verse 9, "All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing." In other words, everyone who sees evil workers get their comeuppance, and that's one of those old folks' words, you know, when somebody gets what's coming to them, they get their comeuppance. They will revere the Lord and watch how they treat people. And in verse 10, "The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." The righteous will be glad. The righteous will be glad in the Lord that what is happening is being exposed. The righteous will be glad in the Lord and learn to trust in him. And all of us who are righteous shall glory in how the Lord has orchestrated everything that is going on. My brothers and sisters, the time will come that we will truly understand it by and by. I know earlier I talked about the TV shows that use fictional crimes or crimes that are ripped from the headlines. You know, we know the reason why they end the way they do by solving the crime. And the reason is because that's the way it was written in the script. And I want to share with you now that I've read enough of the master script, our Bible, to know that God deals with non-fictional crimes. I know I've read enough of the Bible to know that when people try to do bad against God's people, it does not end well with them. I know enough of the Bible to know that when Pharaoh tried to keep God's people in captivity, but God raised up Moses to deliver his people, I know enough about the Bible to know when it looked like their backs were against the wall, when they escaped Pharaoh in Egypt and came up upon the Red Sea, that God delivered them by opening up the Red Sea and allowed them to cross over on dry ground. I read the Bible enough to know that when David was under the death sentence of King Saul, but God stepped in and delivered him. This is not something that the script writers wrote for television, but this is something that the Almighty orchestrated. I know enough to know that when evil people get in power and try to do stupid stuff, that God will show up, excuse me, in his time. I know enough to know that a woman named Jezebel, who was a pagan queen, who married an evil king of Israel called Ahab, She was evil, and she instituted idolatry, pagan worship, and she tried to destroy everything about God among the people. She murdered the prophets of Israel, but the people were delivered in the end. And when God showed up, he showed her who really let the dogs out. I got to tell you about an evil woman named Delilah, who used deception to trick Samson into revealing the source of his strength, only to betray him into the hands of the Philistines. Yes, yes, the strength that Samson had, he no longer had. They found the source of his strength was in his hair. They gave him a haircut, the first barbers in the Bible. They gave him a haircut. And as they gave him a haircut, his strength dissipated. But I thank God that he prayed to God, and his hair grew enough that his strength came back. And in his final act, he destroyed a lot of the Philistines. God shows up when we need him. He shows up right on time. I do know enough about the Bible to know that Satan's job description is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God sent his son to die for us. God sent his son to redeem us back to the Father. God sent his son to deliver us. God sent the Holy Spirit to protect us. God sent and orchestrated the way he wanted to do. And I will close out by reciting Psalm 37:25, where David says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. After all, the Lord is watching out for us. So sit back, be assured, my brothers and sisters, that God has everything under control. We still have a lot to go through with the pandemic and everything else going on, but rest assured that God is still under control. In good times, it's easier to believe what the word says and how to apply it to our lives. But when we are challenged, can we still have the same enthusiasm about the word? Can we still have the same faith? Can we still have the same trust? This is the time, my brothers, this is the time, my sisters, to stand firm on our faith and remember the way maker we have and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us remember the words of Jeremiah 29:11 are not only for the good times, but are for the bad times too. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. My brothers and sisters, God is revealing things for us today. So instead of being depressed, instead of being ashamed, sometimes we just need to glorify God for the revelation to let us know that what is truly going on, and realize and have the faith to know that in due time, God will take care of it. God bless you. God bless you, my brothers and my sisters. You know, I don't remember if I ever told you the title of this message, but the title is God Don't Like Ugly. God does not like ugly. So remember that. Remember that in the coming 10 days, 11 days, as we wait for an important date in the nation. Remember that. As more revelations come out, remember that. That God is still in control. And God is still with us. I pray that this message has been informative. And I pray that this message will inspire each of us to dig deeper in the word. And dig deeper into our faith during the trying times, like David did. For if it could happen to David, a man after God's own heart, then why do we think we are immune from the evils of the world? Again, God bless you.